In 1892, another series of serious cholera epidemics began sweeping Russia. It began, for our purposes anyway, on the Persian border, where it spread with unfortunately predictable ease along a population with no modern system of hygiene or sewage management that had, over the course of the past few decades, been given access to railroads in addition to the water-based routes of transportation. For residents all over Russia, there was one main choice that had to be made: to stay where they remained, or to seek out either a climate where cholera would not thrive, or a place isolated enough to weather the epidemic in relative safety, away from major lines of commerce and transit. So let's look at an example of a choice, that faced by a well-to-do and reasonably well-educated and informed Muscovite merchant. They would have had access to some foreign press, although this was censored as much as the Russian government could manage, and the means to afford rail travel. The instinct to flee Moscow would be a real one, especially if one did not view themselves or Russia as particularly immune. It was even reported in the American press that at Borododsk, in the presence of Moscow, the presiding officer having proposed the establishment of an ambulance, his voice was drowned with cries of, "No, no, we do not want any. There is no cholera here." So if we look at a map of Russia in 1892, there are a few likely lines of escape, north and west from Moscow. We can see this in the first map if you're following along. The first and most likely candidate for a place to weather the storm would be almost due north, to Vologda. This had the key advantage, in addition to its northern latitude, of being a rail terminus, and thus would be unlikely to have the kinds of through traffic that would be present in places like Nizhny Novgorod or Moscow itself. The other possible route of escape would be northwest, either to St. Petersburg or to Estonia. This would not only offer places with some of the most modern hospital and sanitary conditions, but would offer the possibility of escape over the sea if news darkened and Russia looked likely to be overrun with the disease. It would take some time for the preparations to be made for this kind of journey, and in the meantime, our hypothetical merchant would be doing their level best to stay on top of any developments in the news. Unfortunately, that news was grim. Mass panic had swept the Trans-Caspian and Caucasian countryside, and the flood of people trying to escape had already brought the disease to Astrakhan by June 13th, and it seemed inevitable to flow upriver into the heart of European Russia. The disease was in a vicious cycle with the government authority as well. The efforts of the imperial government to set up mitigation efforts were met with violent opposition. Arson at temporary hospitals and even murders of doctors were scary enough. Open rioting in cities like Tbilisi and several other towns were enough to make one thing clear to anyone thinking of fleeing to the hinterlands: these places could hold dangers above and beyond the disease itself. At the beating heart of Russia, where the government and medical services held more direct control, just might be the safest place to be. At the risk of offending modern sensibilities, there would be reason for a resident of Moscow to have some trepidation about traveling to regions outside the Slavic-dominated portions of the empire in an effort to escape the epidemic. As can be seen in the ethnographic map, that's the third map I have posted, we can see that territories outside Great, Little, and White Russia were populated with a great variety of non-Slavic peoples. And these are the areas where most of the violence was happening and might account for some of the civil strife. Already in 1892, the advances in medicine in the major cities of Russia were enough to offer some encouragement that they would be able to weather the epidemic much better than in epidemics past. The Zemstvo authorities were given direct access and in many cases, direct control over their local cadre of doctors and medical students. This allowed them to be quicker and more effective in their responses to the outbreak than they might otherwise be out in the provinces. The Moscow Zemstvo, in particular, was unusually progressive and effective, possibly due to their higher levels of education overall. But they had recently modernized their practices in 1885, and the doctors that made up the Zemstvo's medical board had remarkable autonomy and power to implement not only preventative and sanitary practices, but to quickly mobilize significant resources to counter an acute threat like this cholera epidemic. Unfortunately, not all districts could boast a similar system. Fully one-third of all zemstvos had no medical board at all, and the remainder that did had significant variation in their effectiveness. A well-connected and informed merchant could not help but know this and have little faith in the health systems and facilities outside Moscow and St. Petersburg. It would at this point be safe to eliminate the idea of escaping to Vologda, because although we have the benefit in hindsight of knowing that the epidemic only affected Vologda lightly, that assumption would be dangerous to make at the time, given what information could be gathered. Consider the first map of the rail network. We can see that in order to get to Vologda from Moscow, it would be necessary to travel through Yaroslavl. This was danger because it was an important railway junction and would prove not only to be hit sooner on July 21st than Vologda, which was hit on August 20th, it would also prove to have over 1,200 documented cases and likely more than Vologda, which would only report 10 cases overall for the entire year. We can see this simply in the second map. That's the one that shows the progression of the disease itself, where in those railway junction towns and the provinces surrounded them are the first hotspots away from the lower reaches of the Don and the Volga. In this way, although Vologda might not be a bad place to be in the midst of a pandemic, traveling to that city would be fraught with risk. While hindsight might offer a more reassuring view of living through the disease in Moscow, the accounts of the denial expressed in Moscow as to the gravity of the situation were making national news, and a consideration of flight would have been on many people's minds, not just the teeming masses fleeing up the Volga. But then, as is often the case today, remaining in place would have been the best for all involved, especially if the various zemstvo medical boards had encountered support instead of pitchforks and torches.